Wynn and I want to express our gratitude for every one of our listeners. Thank you for being a part of this podcast and sharing this space with us each week. We are now offering an opportunity to work with Wynn or myself individually in a deeper look towards what's true about life and who you really are. If you'd like to know more, email me or Wynn for more details. In a 3-day dive under the noise, anything is possible. Let's find out. Now onto the podcast.
Welcome. This podcast is an exploration into being human and what's possible when there's less attention on the noise in our heads. Warning. While listening to this broadcast, you may experience moments of deep peace, sighs of relief, personal insights, or long stretches of dead air. Do not be afraid. This is normal. Under the Noise with Wynn Morgan and Kate Roberts.
Welcome to Under the Noise. I'm Kate Roberts, and I'm here with my amazing co-host, Wynn Morgan. Hi, Wynn.
Hello, Kate. How are you doing?
I'm well.
Well, that was possibly the most impressive laugh after my very first question.
Well, you paused. Like, we haven't been talking for 30 minutes. Like, oh, hey, it's you. That's what you just did. It made me laugh.
Yeah, there's this thing called the fourth wall. We've just blown it.
What's the fourth wall?
Fourth wall is, from what I understand, it's what performers on a stage would have and on TV and in movies too, where they have the back wall, the side wall, and the other side wall. And then there's the fourth wall, which is where the audience are.
Oh,
so
I see.
Where the camera is looking in, right? Or what the audience in the theater. And what you and I are often pretty good at is blowing the fourth wall. So it's really good that we're not in show business and we're in the human business, because it's not good to have a fourth wall in the human business. Look at that. How's that for an ad lib?
There you go. That's interesting. Yeah, I'm glad I'm not an actress. I would be very bad, I think.
Although you look like one.
you
look like a very specific actor.
You think so? Who do you think I look like?
Yeah. Kelly Riley.
Oh, yeah. My student said that when I was teaching. Yeah. From Yellowstone, right?
Yeah.
I like her, actually. her character is kind of crazy, but I like her.
Character's nuts. Looking like someone doesn't mean you've got the same character, though. Okay, so
it's true.
You're fine. It's only the look of you that reminds me of Kelly Riley, as opposed to the character that she plays in one thing that she's ever done in her life.
Yeah.
How did we get here?
It's a mystery.
Yeah. By the way, if you're listening to this part, this is the kind of thing we'd normally edit out, but evidently we haven't this time, or Kate hasn't this time. So welcome to our world.
I might. I'm considering. So I had an idea for today.
You did.
As you know, and probably a lot of the listeners, I read or listen to a lot of stuff and on various topics. And then something that I hear or read will kind of resonate for me in a way that I know it to be true for me as well. And I guess that happens a lot, you know, when people are reading or listening. But I was listening recently to a webinar with one of our previous guest, Rahini Ross. And she was describing her experience of seeking, like as a seeker. And she referenced things like, you know, meditation and things like that, that were part of her journey. And one thing that she said, which really kind of sat with me, was she talked about the suffering in the seeking. And I thought, huh, yeah, And I don't know if I would have put those words to it, suffering, because suffering sounds so hard and painful. But then when I sat with it, I knew that to be true, because whenever there's a thought and feeling that my present experience isn't enough, I'm suffering. And when you are really in a lot of pain, like emotional pain or mental, and then say, like, you find something like the understanding that we talk about, and you really feel, you know, more joyful and happy and peaceful and full of well-being, it's such a change from your previous experience that you don't think of this as suffering, because it feels so much better than it did before. You know, before you started to really see how life worked. And so when she said that, I was like, huh, suffering. Because I know I'm a seeker, right? I get that. And intellectually, I know that I'm enough in every moment. And life is enough. And what I have is enough. But I'm not sure how much I actually just know that. Like, I really know it, you know, for myself. And so I get why being in a moment and feeling not enough, or feeling like my experience is not enough, I get why that's suffering. So I thought that might be an interesting topic for us today.
And when you shared that this might be something that we could talk about, I was already all in. Let's have this as an idea for an episode. Well, seeking to me is the same as resisting what is. It's another side of the coin, right? It says, well, I don't like this, so I'm going to be looking for something else. Whether it's a change of how I feel, whether it's a change of a belief, whether it's, I don't know, a change of anything. Or me earlier on today when I was at my local supermarket and I couldn't find the mozzarella cheese. Well, in my struggle to find mozzarella cheese, well, I was suffering because I already had the other things that I wanted in the dish I was going to make with mozzarella cheese, right? And I was just looking for anything. What's wrong with me? I can't find the cheese. What have they done? They do not have fresh mozzarella anymore. What's wrong with this shop, right? I was really in my head. Now, I know that's a very trivial example, but the feeling's the same. The notion that I'm seeking something else that I don't have, whether it's mozzarella cheese or the feeling of having, you know, oh, I'm going to make this incredible salad when I get home. Or it can be as simple as I'm seeking more peace of mind, more peace of being comfortable in my own skin, more peace with being a human being. But the seeking is that what we already know and understand doesn't seem enough. I'll be better if this belief goes. I'll be better if... And there is, regardless of how big the suffering is, there's a feeling of suffering in the seeking, because what is now is not okay. That's what it means when we're seeking. As I'm saying this, and it started happening as well when you were sharing this as a notion for us to talk about today, so many little things were coming up in my mind of all the things I seek. So, I seek the next corporate client. I seek my team to win the big game. I seek me to be a little less caught up in my own nonsense, in my own BS. And every time I am, I'm out of what is right now. And there is suffering that comes with that. And to your point, it can be really subtle. It's 1 ounce of suffering compared to a ton that I would have had 15 years ago. It's still there, though. The discomfort.
I actually saw it today. Like, I've had some things come up and, you know, a bunch of work things and personal things and tech not working the way that I want it to or as fast, or, you know, things kind of being added on to my list. And I was in yoga, obviously not in the room because I was up here. And just feeling, you know, just the pressure of thinking about all of that and seeing what I, you know, all my busy thinking about all of it was doing. And it didn't feel good and it doesn't feel right. And I'm like, oh, I'm overthinking, and which is some more overthinking. And I wanted out of it. I wanted out of it. I wanted out of that feeling of overwhelm, of overthinking, of feeling of stress in my body, and I didn't like it and I wanted out of it. And it wasn't any of the things that I have on. It was the not wanting to feel the stress. It was like pushing up against all the stuff I had on and not being able to do it as long or as, you know, as much as I needed to. And it was like pushing up against the experience of having a lot on was actually what I didn't want to feel. Because when you have a lot on, you just do one thing at a time and that's all you can do and you're done, right? But I didn't want to feel all that. And I realized, oh, I'm seeking something better than what's happening right now. That's the suffering. And something about noticing it all of a sudden. Yeah. I could be with it. That's pretty cool.
It's really cool, isn't it? That's all it takes is to notice. It doesn't take a 20-minute meditation. It doesn't take a certain method of breathing. Or twanging a band on a wrist. And I'm not, if anyone's finding help in any of those things, I'm not diminishing their effect. Yet it's simpler than that. Noticing, oh, I'm seeking. Oh, I'm resisting. And that's the only struggle. What just came up for me as well now in realizing I wasn't seeking right now, not even seeking something to say. And all I felt was peace. See, all I felt was peace. I mean, it's just like, that was everything, was peace. And to me, the reason I do anything is in order for me to feel that. I get it for free. It's not conditional on something being different.
I love how and it's so obvious after the fact, right? But it's before you start to see this and start to feel better. You know, your mind has all these ideas of what would make you feel better, right? And it's constantly in the have this be different, have this be different. And then you start to see how we work, and it does, it feels better. And then automatically our personal minds jump in. It's like, oh, it's the seeking that is the thing, right? It just automatically is like, nope, this is it. It's the seeking that's going to make it all better. So it's like, you get, oh, it's not the money. Oh, it's not the relationship. You start to feel better. Oh, it's not the job. And you just, there's so much more ease. And then all of a sudden it has attached itself to the seeking. And now that's the thing. Because it needs a thing. Because it's always trying to, you know, help and play and what it knows. And now it just switches from one thing to the next. And how much pressure is that really? Too. It's not just the suffering and the seeking. But then it, when you're not feeling great, you're like, oh my God, I'm doing something wrong. There's a lot of pressure. You're like, oh my gosh, right? And so now there's that added suffering onto your suffering. Like, oh, I shouldn't be here. I know too much now, or I've seen how this thing works. And oh, it's just my thinking. I wonder what it would look like if I knew that whatever experience I was having was okay. And not just okay, but enough.
You know what I would wish? Not just enough, but knowing that every single feeling, every single emotion in itself is a gift and a miracle.
Yeah.
So not just okay, but I get to feel. I get to have the experience of feeling. I get to have the experience of this emotion. And while I know it's true, I still resist. There are times I will still resist a feeling, still resist something in my life, still seek for something different. Because I forget that this is a massive gift of being conscious and having the experience of being alive.
You know what I just realized is even that question that I just asked is me wanting something different.
Yeah. Wow. It was the irony, right? And then what I said as well, it's also a bit of seeking.
We're literally doing it live.
Yeah. But there's a difference between and I need it.
Yeah.
There's the desperation or the feeling within that is also, you know, up for grabs.
Well, wondering always feels very free and flowing and open and what's possible, right? So wondering definitely feels different, but it's still this, what? I wonder if, you know what I mean? Like that's outside of what's actually happening right in this moment. Although I don't know how much if it would be a good show if we just sat here with each other content to, you know, not even discuss, just be here and be like, it's enough. And we just sit here.
I mean, it would be great for you and me. Somebody listening, they might think, oh, what?
It's what am so I listening true.
To silence for? Can do that myself. Thanks very much.
I know, right? It would be. Like, if I was in this moment, right? And everything was enough, and I didn't need it to be any different, I could be in my suffering. I could be that person who's constantly reaching for something different, and even that would be enough. The one who stresses out in a yoga class. Like she'd be enough. The one who talks about something more on a podcast about the suffering of wanting something more. Like she'd be enough too. That would be simple, like you said.
You know, when we talk about levels of consciousness or shifts in perspective, seeing the bigger picture, I mean, I think that's my interpretation of what you were saying. When we see it, oh, it's even okay to suffer. Oh, it's even okay to seek. Oh, it's even okay for me to be a human being. Oh, it's even okay. And then there's that endless potential of infinite levels of consciousness that I don't understand. But I know a little because I've seen it for myself that I can be onto it and seeing myself and get a bit of perspective and, you know, another layer of consciousness where am aware of me, as opposed to being the struggle.
You know, there's the feeling is so different.
Yeah.
The feeling of wanting something different is so, I don't know, twisty and tight. But the feeling that I just felt, even in just saying the person's suffering is okay, it feels so full and complete, and nothing's any different. And yet, I'm not the same. I don't know if that makes any sense, but like every time I feel like I sit in that, I'm different. And I can't go back. And it doesn't mean that I suffer less necessarily, but I do. Because I can be with that. And I couldn't be with my suffering before. You know, it feels really different than, you know, when people say that, you know, to be with your suffering, you know what I mean? Like, you know how there's a lot of people who really feel like the way out is to be in it. And
yeah,
for whatever reason, it doesn't really feel that way. It feels different.
No. And in my mind, and that thought came up to me as well, just before you shared that. Because that's not the being, that's doing the being. It's the act of being as opposed to being. It's turning being into a doing. So whenever, you know, I remember people saying to other people, or even people saying to me, oh, you got to be with it. Well, that's a doing. But if I realize it for myself, oh, then it feels different. That's true being. And the feeling is what guides. The feeling is what informs. Feeling tells me I'm not in the doing. I'm not in the act of being. I'm being. Because otherwise the doing is another seeking.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, lately, even the question feels different than the doing. Like, sometimes in my mind, like, I'll hear the question, well, can you be with this? And there's a curiosity to it. And a wondering. And a, you know, that feels very different than a formula. Like, can I be with this feeling? You know, and it feels really light. Lighter than, you know, the Houdini act that I typically fall into of trying to get out of it in some way. Distraction, numbing.
So a gentle insight like that. Can I be with this? Which is to me a gentle insight.
Yeah.
One way of describing it for me. The feeling of that is so different from me giving myself a hard time. Hey, Wynn, just be with this. Even if that's self kind of self mandated. The feeling is what tells me. And it's amazing to me how simple that is, and yet how easy it is for me to overcomplicate it and rationalize that and logicize it and intellectualize it, when in fact it might not need any of it. It's just simple. The feeling guides.
Thanks, Wynn.
Thank you. Well, as always, I love how our conversations meander into the unknown directions of what we share and see and remember and think. I hope you listening, you got something from this too. And we'd love to hear if there was anything, what that was, And if there are any questions specifically about this, then please let us know. And if you've got any other ideas for future episodes that you'd love us to discuss, then again, just get in touch. Our details, follow the end of the podcast, and also wherever you found us today. Thank you, Kate.
Thanks, man.
So you've been listening to Under the Noise with me, Wynne Morgan, and my amazing co-host, Kate Roberts. And we'll speak to you again soon. Have a great week.
Thanks for joining us. We'd love for you to subscribe, rate, and review. If you have a topic or question that you'd like us to chat about, email Wynne or Kate at wynne@wynning.co.uk and kate@katerobertscoaching.com. Until then, enjoy what's possible under the noise.